Well, good morning, everybody. Morning. Good to be back amongst you all. Really is great. I cannot believe that there's a barbecue next week, was it? And I've not been invited by Joan or Roy. Amazing. I've known them for so many years, and there we are, and they know how much I love my barbecue, but just as well, I'm at a wedding next Saturday, but we're there. But if you can come, I'm sure they'd love to see you. Okay, now then, what have we got here? I've got to press this slowly, otherwise I will be in trouble.
Yeah.
And it was slowly, and it's still not moved, so I'll leave it there for a moment. But we'll get there. So, yeah, it's great to be here. Now then, I wonder if you've ever started the job that you've not finished. Put your hand up, that will do. Okay. Put your hand up if you've started a job that you've not finished. Lots of hands. Come on. All right, hands down. And put your hand up if that job that you've not finished has been going on for a long, long time. Put two hands up. I'm a thief. Hands down. It's amazing, isn't it? We get jobs that we know we've got to do, and we never finish it. There is always something getting in the way. Now, it could be jobs at home, jobs on your car, could be jobs anywhere. For me, it's always at home because my wife tells me I'm never there. And so we have to pay big money and get people in. And I then complain, why do you pay all that for, all that money out? It's because you're not doing it. Anyway, there we are. But there we are. We could go on. Now then, we're going to sketch a little picture. So we're going to start off with a sketch. You know what I mean? It's all a bit vague there. And if you're at the back and you've got varifocals or whatever focals you've got on, you probably can't see a thing. But I want you to look very carefully as we go on, because with this sketch, where we'll do a little pencilish type drawing, in the end, we're going to have a picture.
A picture?
Yeah, that's right. Now, I don't want you just to look out for the picture in here and don't listen to what I say, all right? So I want you to listen carefully, as well as watching this picture that all of us, we're going to draw together. All right, so what's our title this morning? I shall click it. See, I've done it carefully.
To the right.
Yeah, I've got it to the right here. To the right. Let me click. Oh, I know what I did wrong. I have been clicking that bit one down there. So that was my fault. Okay, that's our theme this morning. Can we all say it together? Everybody after three. It's good we've got some boys and girls here, so I'll try and be as straightforward as I can so that you guys can understand it as well. Even if the older ones don't, you will understand it. Okay, ready? After three, I want you to read the verse up there. Well, the verse, my title up there. Ready? After three. Three. God has not finished with us yet. I now want you to turn to the passage that Colin read. It was Colin, wasn't it? Read for us so well. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. We know that it's on page 1179 in our Bibles. Now then, let's just explain here a little bit here. This was a letter written to a church, a group of Christians. They were living at a place called Philippi. Okay? We haven't got time to show you all the direction, but I even thought of getting a map to help you and so on, but I thought, Dalton, you're going to be a little while, so let's just keep it simple. So it was a letter that was written. Put your hand up if you write letters today. How many people really write letters? It's generally some of the, I won't say older ones, yeah, but, and yeah, okay, hands down. Because, why do I say it like that? Because what do we tend to do today? Can I see one here? We don't write letters, do we? What do we do today, many people? Emails, that's right.
Emails.
That's right, and we get our mobile phones out. Nothing wrong with emails. Nothing wrong with mobile phones. What's some really good things about email and mobile phones even compared to a letter? What's some good, really good things? It's quicker. That's right. It's quick. But what is really, really good about sending letters? When you send a letter, it makes it more, begins with P.
Personal.
That's right. Isn't it lovely when you go down and you say, oh, there's a letter. It's got my name on.
Yeah.
Oh, you think you'll pick it up. And it feels special, doesn't it? Well, it makes me feel special. Does it make you feel special? Of course it does. So it's great. So don't get me wrong. It's good to send emails. It's good to write. But here was this man. His name was Paul. He was writing this letter. And I want you all to imagine, just say, almost to the church here at, where are we?
Market
Overton. Yeah, I'm glad you know where you are. So Paul was writing this letter, and we could almost say he's writing it to us. And it was a letter that he was, to, as I said, to a group of Christians. Right, so we've mentioned our title. We've mentioned here's a sketch. What else have we got to say? Well, Paul wrote this letter, and what was he saying in this letter? Let's have a look at it again in verse 6, our text. What I mean by our text, that's the verse we're going to look at. So let's all read verse 6 again together. Really is important. I'm going to labour on this because I want everybody to understand. So we're all going to read verse 6 together. Are we ready? We've got, yeah, ready? 1, 2, 3. Being confident. Lovely. Okay. Right. Let's move on as we paint this picture. We know that. That's the verse I've just given you. Okay. What else can we say? Why was it written? Because who did we say wrote it? Paul. Sometimes it's good to know why it was written. Why did Paul write this letter? Because, you know, we don't write letters without a reason, do we? I wonder if it tells us earlier on. Well, look at verses 1. What does it say? Does it give us a reason there? Well, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers, that's the leadership, and deacons. Well, maybe elders and deacons, but those who are in leadership. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it really say the reason why it was written? Well, let's have a look. Let's just have a look at my next. Ah, we've said it was a thank you letter. All right. Now, what I want us to do, because it's really important, I want you now to turn to Acts chapter what? What's the chapter I put
16.
On there? Acts chapter 16. Okay. So I want everybody now to turn to Acts chapter 16. And Acts chapter 16 is on page 1112. Okay? Acts chapter 16. In fact, we're gonna start from verse 11. So go to page 1111. Okay? And remember, hope everybody's still with me. We're asking the question. What was the question? Why was it written? Well, we said it was a thank you letter. But before we get to this verse 6, it's really important to understand what it was saying here in Acts. Okay, so verse 11. Okay, from verse 11, Acts chapter 16, it reads, from Troas, see he was traveling, from Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day onto Neapolis, from where we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Okay? So, okay, we're still saying he travelled, that's where he was. Let's just read on a bit now, because I now want you to turn your eyes down to verse 16. Not very nice, this little bit here, because something not very nice that was happening to someone, and we've got young children here, so let's have a look. It's a verse 16. When we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Now, boys and girls, there are some people today that say they can talk about the future and tell you what's happening. As Christians today, we don't really believe in, they talk about stars and all sorts of stuff. We don't really believe in a lot of that because we believe God knows what's happening. Anyway, so there's this lady. She earned money for doing it. We find that in verse 16. And then in verse 18, this lady, she really, really liked what Paul was saying, all the Christian teaching. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled and he turned around and said to the spirit, because this lady had a really, she had a spirit inside her that wasn't very nice. So Paul commanded this spirit, this awful thing, to leave this lady. The spirit left this lady. And then in verse 19, the owners, sadly in those days, boys and girls and to everybody, people were kept or bought as slaves, which meant that you were working for these people, not very pleasant. So in verse 19, the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone. So in other words, this lady believed all the things that Paul was saying, and they wanted to take her away from doing this really bad thing that she was involved in. But people who owned, because in those days they almost owned these slaves, they didn't like it. And in the end, Paul and Timothy and all those that was with him, they were thrown in prison. All right. So when they were thrown in prison, we look in verse 19 onwards, how they were thrown in prison. They were dragged into the marketplace. They were made a big spectacle of, and in the end, they were put in prison from verse 22 onwards. I'm going a bit fast because I don't want to get into all the details, and we've got young children here. But really, they were dragged around the city, put in prison, and in the end, Paul was suffering greatly when he went to this place called Philippi. Okay, so he wrote this letter, and I hope you're all still with me, because we've got to understand a bit of background before we suddenly jump into Philippians. So he was now writing this letter to all the Christians saying, look, I'm in prison, but I want you still to carry on to love the Lord Jesus. I want you still to carry on despite all that's happened to me, because all the things happened to me, it happens. And it means that the Bible, the good news of the gospel, is now spreading. And as Christians, we want you to be together. We want you to carry on to love the Lord Jesus. All right, so I hope you're with me. So, it was a thank you letter. We've had the background to it. Let's just move on a little bit more. And we're going to look at three simple things. And I hope the boys and girls can understand. And three points we're going to look at, looking at this verse 6. And it says in verse 6, again, remind ourselves, let's all read it again together. Verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. We're going to look at three things. As Paul was writing this letter to the Christians at Philippi, Paul's confidence in God was profound. Goodness me, Dalton, whatever do you mean by profound? What do I mean by profound? What does that mean? Let's have a look here. Well, it was profound. Let's press the right. Yeah, I'm still pressing on my right. Maybe you can have a click, see whether it goes for you either. It was profound. Okay, what do we mean by profound? It means Paul was so convinced beyond all doubt that when you become a Christian, boys and girls, whoever you are, God will keep you to the end. You see, God doesn't just start a work and just, like you and me, he never finishes it. And the work that God has begun is the work of what we say salvation. It's the work of knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at that. Paul uses a strong word to describe the hope he has in Jesus. And if you're a Christian this morning, people, if you know and love Jesus, you have a hope. It's wonderful. It's not hope. Is England going to win the World Cup? Are they going to come home with it? Well, we know what happened there, don't we? We weren't going to that. I was preaching. Where was I preaching? Yeah, I was in. Was it Chesterfield? No, 2 weeks ago, I was in. I was preaching in Chesterfield. Something completely different. And I was saying to them, it was the day of the World Cup final. It was on a Sunday. And I said to them, one thing I'll tell you all, England's coming home. They're coming home today, but they're not coming with a cup. And the whole church sort of erupted, well, in laughter. But we were hoping to. And sincerely, I wanted England to win. I thought, wouldn't it be good? But there's another side of me that says, well, they won't go away. You know, there we are. But Paul here was convinced, let's have a look at this word again, beyond doubt, that what God has done in the Christians there at Philippi, and what God, the work that God's done in your life and in my life, he's going to keep us to the end. So that's the first point. What's the second point? Let's move on to the second point. I point to my good friend here. Yeah. Secondly, what else is Paul saying in this verse? And this is lovely. Christians, take hold of this. What Paul is saying in this verse is that he has been persuaded beyond what? Boy, that was like a damn script. Come on. I didn't hear that properly. He was persuaded beyond all doubt. Right. And when we say all doubt, we mean it's definite. It's going to happen. Yeah? You can see why you only get me here once a year, because I'm trying to draw up too much energy. Beyond all doubt. But not only that, look at how it goes on. So beyond all doubt that he is eternally saved. Isn't that wonderful? That when God saves a person, if you've been saved, if you're a Christian, he'll keep you to the end. Now, it doesn't mean that we think, oh, well, I'm a Christian, God will keep me to the end and I'll do what I like. Well, you'd wonder whether that person's really saved. Because really, when you're saved, you want to please God. And when you sin, it makes you feel horrible, doesn't it? You suddenly realise you've sinned against a holy God. And God is holy. He'll have nothing to do with sin or anything that's unholy. But it goes up. No doubt beyond, he's eternally saved. And we're saved in Christ, aren't we, people? Yes. Sheltered. Look at all my S's. We're saved. Make a note of this. Take this for lunch. Forget the roast, whatever you're going to have. We're eternally saved. We're safe. We're sheltered. And secured. Praise God. You cannot get that from anybody else, anywhere else, can you? The Queen can't give you that. We love the Queen and we pray for them. We're not having a go at her or the Prime Minister or anybody else. But we get it in Jesus. Praise God. This is why I get excited. Yes, I do. See you back in another year or two once you're charged. I always say to Peter, sorry, Peter, you're coming back to pick the pieces up. But then we go on. What else can we say? Our Paul was so convinced. Paul wanted the Philippi church, the churches there, and us as well. What does he want us to know? To have this absolute assurance. Do you know there are times in our lives, if we're really honest, even as Christians, where we even doubt our salvation. We lack assurance sometimes. And do you know what? It comes to us all. It comes to preachers. Yes, yes, it does. Sometimes it does. And for me, it was, you know, the redundancy that I had. And I won't go through all the stories, but I think, Lord, why have you allowed? Yeah, it's amazing. We start blaming God, but my wife and I, 2 children, out of work, no money. I've never known that in my life. There's always a bank credit at the end of the month. And you get used to things, don't you? When there's a bank credit, you think, oh, well, bank credit. I'm going to bother about anything else. And you go on, you think, we don't need God. And when God takes a bank credit away, you know, the payment that you get. What do you do? I said, Lord, where are you? Banging on that wall. Are you real? Are you there? But then, amazingly, God answered my prayer. And I won't go through all the story there. But, you know, we've got to keep on keeping on. Right. in trusting God. He won't drop you. He won't. And often think of footprints.
Yeah, what's the biggest footprints, everybody?
Yeah, well,
he said,
Lord, where are you? Well, do you know what? He's keeping us there, eternally held in his hand. Lovely to see the boys and girls here. I'm trying to make it as straightforward as I can, but it'd be hard, wouldn't it? Because probably I'm complicated. But then, so what else can we say? Absolute assurance that they are saved. And we'll go to where?
Heaven.
People, heaven. Yeah, praise God. We long for that. And we look forward to that. So that's the first point. Paul's confidence. And we want our confidence this morning, surely, to be profound in God. Because God is working his purposes out in us. But then let's move on to the next point, number two. Let's build this picture. We said we're sketching, aren't we? Secondly, Paul's confidence in God was what? Personal. So we've got profound, we've got personal. And bit by bit, our sketch, our picture is coming on. Because God has not finished with us yet. Let's have a look. He uses the word, and again, I want you to look at Philippians 1:6. What does it say there in Philippians 1:6? It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you. That's why it's personal. It's not just for the church there. It's for you and me today. And he's working his purposes out every day. We're being renewed. The old man, the old nature will still kind of have a go at the spiritual. But we've got to be keep on keeping on, which is why God is, has to work on us every day because of this sinful, awful nature that comes to us all. You know, sometimes we may be in church and our mind is far from where it should be. Let's be honest. Communion sometimes frightening. I think of that, and I love Robert Murray McChane. If you ever get any books on Robert Murray McChane, read it, love it, treasure it. And I've been so moved. And I read this stuff, oh, I just love it. And, you know, you think he died when he was so young. And you think, Lord, why did you take him so early? But God knows what he's doing. But in his memoirs, there's one part there that really stirs me. And actually, it's quite frightening. Because it says, typical Sunday morning, he says. You look at all the people in church. They're all dressing, the ties, the suits. They all look so lovely, he says. Look at them all, he says. And they're smiling away. Almost butter wouldn't melt in the mouth. It doesn't say that there, but it's me saying the butter bit. But in old English, he says, But if you were to search the hearts of all the people gathered, you'd think you're at the very gates of hell than in the presence of Almighty God. You know, I find that really searching. I find it that I have to examine myself before God. Because it's holy. We're on holy ground here. We're before God. And we've got to come and we've come to worship. Surely all of us, there must be that sense of reverence and awe and wonder. No wonder Paul says, he loved me. Galatians 2:20, incredible. He loved me. Praise God. And gave himself for me. It's personal. Oh boy. Do you know, we could go on all day on this. It's wonderful. It's thrilling, people. Come on. I know you don't feel like jumping up like me and, you know, be pleased when I'll be going soon. But, you know, it's wonderful. What our Jesus. Secondly then, no wonder Paul was able to say, and we haven't got time to all the scriptures, but in Galatians 2:20, he so identifies himself with Christ. And we say reverently, he was in love with his Saviour. Why? Because Paul, he lived a wretched life, this man, before he was saved. He used to go into meetings and disrupt them. He wanted to get all the Christians in prison, this man. And he was gloriously saved on the what road? On the Damascus Road, where God suddenly confronted this man, changed him. This is why we must never, ever give up on anyone. I was saying to Roy, just before we came in for prayer, my life, I'm on the streets on a Wednesday, because I say to the church, even at Little Hill, I can't just feel contented just turning up on a Sunday, although they tell me off, I'm never there anyway. But my heart is evangelism and on the streets. And I'm involved, as some of you know, street evangelism. And again, I say this carefully because we've got some very young people here, but met a man, 45 years old. He's got 9 months to live. He was told 5 years ago, we've got 5 years to live. Well, time's ticking on. He's got 9 months to live. And his life is simply vodka and cider. And we gave him the leaflets. You know, he took loads from us. And he wanted to listen to about the things of God. They're at a point now where the hospitals, they're not going to operate until he stops the vodka and cider and the smoking. But I'll leave it there. But God has just brought us into this path of this man. 45 years old, handsome, lovely man. To talk about Jesus. And hopefully praying that we'll get to see him in church and we pray for his physical need, whatever else we can do. What needs? I could go on with a few others, but I've got some things here. But Christ, Paul, Christ was all that mattered to him. What matters for you? Can you say this morning? And let's look at the next one. And we can't rely on our mother and our father or anybody else. We can't say, I'm a Christian because my dad told me or my mom told me. We must have a personal relationship ourselves, mustn't we? We know that. Hey, there must be a point in our life where we say, we met God, we were saved. For me, it was a boys' brigade camp. You know the story, I've shared it here so often. I went to that boys' brigade camp to play cricket and football. But then God met me that Wednesday night over 40 years ago. What a God. Yes, I've known ups and downs. And the Christian life's not a bed of roses. If anybody says it is, they're lying. Yeah, I'm going to say that straight. They're lying. It's not true. You're going to know downtimes. You're going to know difficulties. But do you know what? It's lovely when you have Jesus with you. So no matter how difficult times get, it's lovely when we have Jesus with us. He makes a difference, doesn't he? Yeah. We love Jesus. Jesus can help us in all we can do. Dear people, back row, you don't feel you're getting out of it because I'm not walking down here. He's able. What a God we have. Are we trusting in him? What is stopping us from really giving our lives to Jesus? He's the one that really matters. So Paul says, it's personal. It really is. Got this confidence. But then, let's have a look at another slide, because we're still on this personal thing, and I love this, still on point two. There is nothing more liberating than knowing for sure you are saved. And we just looked at that verse, for me to live is Christ, and to die. There's nothing more liberating. It really is. Because we know what Christ means to us. And the things that Paul had, and it's on the next slide, whatever, he wasn't a rich man, but whatever he had, do you know what he said? Look what he said. What? Paul counted what he had as rubbish in order that he might, what does it say? In order that he might be more like Jesus. What are we like? Are we living for our possessions? We think, oh yeah, you can touch anything else, but not my car, not my video game, not my mobile phone. And do you know what I find really frightening at the moment? I've shared it, I've said it to my wife, because I'm equally guilty. What is the last thing we look at night? Mobile phone? Maybe, for some people? What's the first thing we look at in the morning? Mobile phone, what messages are coming through? Maybe for some people? How much time do we spend on these things? Please, look, I'm not having to go at people on these things, because Donkey King, guilty. But I really look at the time that we spend with some of these things, and they can get in the way. It may not be mobile phone. It may not be any of these. It may be other things. Oh, to have time with God in the morning. And even if you're not a morning person, Maybe you have another time that you pray. And we're not legalistic about these things, but you must have time for God. Because otherwise, when you get out there, the devil will be waiting for you. And I mean that. You want to go out there having spent time with God so that you're prepared. You've got your armour on. Yeah? We're ready for the battle, people, aren't we? Woo-hoo! We're ready. Come on. Am I knocking stuff down and causing chaos again, Roy? There we are. So, we are drawing to a close soon. But then, can we all say this? The next slide. I love it. Make this our prayer. Can we say, people? Can we really say, blessed assurance?
Jesus is
mine. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, that's what we want. And in a sense, maybe I should have finished with that. Don't worry, pianist, you're all right. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But yeah, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Lovely old hymns. We mustn't throw out all the old hymns, folks. The modern ones are fine, some of them. The old ones, rich. And even though some of them, yeah, they're not always straightforward and easy to understand, but some of the older hymns are rich. Can you sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? So, what have we said? We said we're going to have 3 points. We've had 2 points already. What was point number one? Paul's confidence in God was profound. Secondly, Paul's confidence in God was personal. Thirdly, and quickly as we finish, Paul's confidence in God was, and hold on, let's go back just before we put that. No, that's okay. We're building our picture. Ha ha. What are we getting now? Are we still got a sketch?
No.
No, we've got a bit more than a sketch now, aren't
we?
Yes, we have. Right, and if you can identify the place, come and tell me afterwards. Yes. And if you're really stuck, it's not a million miles away from here. Well, actually, you're further on. Okay, so Paul's confidence in God was powerful. I could see people looking at the picture now, and they're not going to... Still listening to me, yeah? Okay. What can we say about Paul's confidence was powerful? Well, Paul says the same God who begun this good work will perform it, or will continue it. Think of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 for a moment, everybody. It talked about, behold, when God made everything, it says, behold, that all that he had made, and it was
good.
Praise God. It was good. God's begun a what work in us? A good work. And he will continue it. Yeah, people are with me. Praise God. Good work. God is good. And I love it. Maybe Roy didn't pick up on that. He prayed. God is good. And the good work that God does. And I thought, yes, we're on the word good. And it's in my sermon. It's in my notes. You know, it's powerful. Our confidence is powerful because we've got a good God. And what else does it talk about perform it? What do we mean by perform it, boys and girls? What can we say? Let's look at the next bit. Perform means, let me have one of the boys and girls under 10 or 15. Could one of you read that for me? Perform means to bring. Anyone going to be brave enough? Anyone going to be brave enough? No one's brave enough. Yeah, you can say it with Daddy if you want. Do you want to say it with Daddy? To bring. No, it's a bit, yeah. Okay, so let's all say it together. Don't worry, after three. Performance means to bring. Amen. And he will. And where's our home one day, people? Where are we going if you're a Christian?
Heaven.
Are we longing for that day? That day will come. We'll have a, praise God, we'll have a new body, won't we? Some of us can do with a new body. Hey, we look in the mirror in the morning. I know I do. Oh dear, what is? Anyway, there we are. But incorruptible, undefiled. There'll be no more pains, no sorrows. We've known so much sorrows in this life, haven't we? Many of us. Well, it will all be gone in heaven if you know and love Jesus.
and you put your faith and trust in Him. And that's the important thing we've got to do, because we won't get there until we do that. Until we come to a point where we say, Lord, I cannot live without You. I need You to be my Lord and Saviour. I want You to make the difference in my life. So what a God we have. It's powerful. And then, a couple more as we finish it. Don't worry, we aren't finishing. What's the next bit? Let's move on. God loved us. This is the bit I can't get in my head. It's too much. It's too big for me. God loved us before we ever existed. God, can you get that in your head? You know, you're clever than me, all of you here. You know, Mark Toverton, a clever place, isn't it? Or not? But Roy is... Anyway, yeah, it's clever. God loved us before we ever existed. The Lord appeared to him from afar off. I have loved you, not just back there, but to us, with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you, not just to the people there, back there, but to us. God is faithful to us. And he'll keep us to the end. And then, as we move on, the next bit, it says here, God saved us eternally when we call on Jesus by faith. And those two verses says, those if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. It's a certainty. And we finish with this promise, this personal question, and that's it. Has God started a saving work in you? That's it. And if you're a Christian, don't give up. Don't faint hearted. Don't think, you know, why is God going, allowing me to go through all this? Why this? Why that? We've got to trust him, because he's going to keep it to the end. And sometimes we feel so awful inside, don't we? But this God, he won't drop you. Praise God. He won't. What a God. But has he started the work? And if he's not started the work in you, if you've never asked him to come into your life, well, you can do that. Even this morning, what a joy it will be for Pastor to come back to say, despite all the mess I may have caused here, there's others who want to trust the Saviour. Amen. Amen. Well, I've chosen, I know not why, God's wondrous grace to me he hath in part, and that will come up. It's a wonderful hymn. It's a good old hymn, but it's wonderful. Look at the words. It's amazing. Well, it will come up. It's not me now. I'm not touching anything, so hopefully Roy won't blame me for pressing the wrong button. Right. Oh, right. Not right. Okay, but it's wonderful, really. Okay, we'll stand to sing, but can we just go to the chorus? Because I want you all to look at the chorus. When you sing it, just look, look, we'll stop there. I know whom I have believed. Paul knew, do you know? And I'm persuaded that he is able to what? What is he able to do, people? To keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We didn't even go on with the verse because of time, because what a day it will be until that day. Heaven. Okay, we'll go back and we'll stand to sing, everybody. I want you all singing joyfully, happily, as unto the Lord. No miserable singers here. All right, okay. Let's look joyful unto the Lord.
Know not why God's wondrous grace to me.